This is Victorious.
So let's go forward in looking at what I believe God wants me to build on. I said something yesterday about going forward, and what we want to do today is not just go forward, but go from glory to glory. Okay? In other words, not just go forward, but keep going. Because that is what makes going forward really, really something that is beautiful. Not just that we go forward today and tomorrow we forget about it. No. It has to be a continuous upgrading. You have to keep upgrading. You have to be going forward. And that's what even in the phone industry, the tablet industry, all of these people are going forward and they are still taking it higher. In those days, you'll have to buy a camera, you have to buy a phone, you have to buy a recorder, you have to buy a laptop. But now when you have a phone, virtually, you can do almost many things on it. And one problem is that most of us do not really utilize our phones. The apps on the phone, most of the time we don't utilize up to 20% of what the capacity of our phones can offer us. I was somewhere recently and someone was telling me the various things you can do with your phone. I was stunned. I didn't know my phone had that potential. And so there are a lot of things to gain, not just from going forward, but to keep going. And that is what I want us to look at this night very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And the word of God says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." By the grace of God, today I'll be speaking on why settle for less if you can soar. If you can soar, why settle for less? If I can soar like an eagle, why then do I need to settle for life as a vulture? Why settle for less if I can soar? Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity you have given us to come into your presence. We rejoice at your word like one that have found great spoil. We thank you for your loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Thank you for being the help of this church in ages past. Thank you for being their hope for years to come. But more than anything else, thank you for being their present help in this time of need. We open our mouths and we pant, longing for your commandments. Satisfy our mouth with good things and renew our youth as the eagle. And let your word and your spirit have a free course among us. Anoint me to declare the mysteries of your kingdom as an oracle, not an orator. And let it be at the end of the day that the things that we learn and receive and hear and see, we shall be doers and not just hearers only. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Why settle for less if you can soar? As a believer, it's very important for you to understand the various areas of your life, the various areas of our lives. Over the years, I have divided the areas of our lives into 7 different compartments. Number one, our spiritual lives. That is your spiritual life as a believer. After you get born again, God expects you to grow and then to mature. That is an area of our life, spiritual life. All our life is not just spiritual. There are certain people, the only thing they emphasize is that they can get better spiritually. And so they emphasize going to church, reading the Bible, praying, fasting, meditating the scriptures. And there is nothing wrong with that. But that is just an area of our lives. The second area of our lives, our mental life, our thought life, the way we think. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." We need to be very careful about the way we think. Jeremiah 4:14 warns us about certain ways not to think. Isaiah 59:7 says, "Some people's thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity." God wants us to know that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, according to Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. So your mental life is very important, the way you think. The word think actually means to have something in mind in Hebrew, it means to have something in mind. It is a word that is used to describe negative, the negative of a picture. The negative of a picture is almost virtually the picture. But the only difference is that it's not been printed out. So our thoughts are actually our plans. Our thoughts are usually the things we are likely going to act on. That is why Jesus warned, why take ye thoughts, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we put on and so forth. So we need to be very careful about our thoughts. Psalm 139 verse 17, talking about the thoughts of God. He said, how precious are your thoughts towards me? The sum of them is very great. The psalmist said in Psalm 139 verse 23, 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there is any wicked way in me, your thoughts may be thoughts of wickedness. You remember the rich fool in Luke 12? The Bible tells us in verse 17 of that scripture that the man thought within himself and said, the man never spoke a word. They were just thoughts. They were just thoughts. Your thoughts are your plans. They were just thoughts. And the man in his thought did something that countermanded the Lord's commandment. He spoke 60 words and he said, I, me, myself, 12 times. He was more concerned about himself in his thoughts. And God dealt with him, not just based on what he said, but even the way he thought. So we need to be very careful about our thoughts. We need to think the thoughts of God. Philippians 4:8 recommends that we should guide our thoughts in such a way that they are in line with the thoughts of God. We also need to be very careful about our thoughts, because I mean, our thoughts are also very important, because our thoughts locate us. You see, our thoughts locate us. Our thoughts tell us, tell people where we are. So we need also to take care of our thought life, our mental life. 1 Peter 1:13 says we should guide up the loins of our minds. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, who has seen the mind of God to be his counselor? He said, we have the mind of Christ. So in what state is your mind? In what state are your thoughts? Then number three, the third area of our lives are our emotional life. Our emotional life. What do we mean by that? Our emotional life have to do with emotions like worry, cares, anxiety, fear. Psychologists tell us that there are at least 645 different kinds of fears that people have in the world, all kinds of fears. People's emotional life is something that you need to be careful about. You know, your emotional life is an indication of how stable and established and grounded that you are. Some people's emotional life is yo-yo. Today they are hot, tomorrow they are cold. Today they are stable, tomorrow they are unpredictable. They are not reliable, they are not dependable. Emotionally, they are fickle. They are very fickle. So our emotional life is another area of our lives. To what extent have you dealt with worry and anxiety, concerns, and all kinds of fear that are founded and not founded? Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Say, be anxious for nothing. But at times, we're anxious about everything. You know, Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. You never suffer the righteous to be moved. We are reminded in 1 Peter 5:7, casting your cares on him, for he careth for you. That is an area of our lives. Then the fourth area of our life is our physical life, our physical life. Our physical life has to do with our health. You know, our health, the state of our health. How healthy are you? How easy is it for you to find sleep? You know, how healthy are you? Do you find certain normal things like digesting your food a little bit difficult? That's an area of our lives, and it's so important. You know, God wants us above everything to prosper and be in health. One of the earlier covenants that God made with Israel in Exodus 15:26 was to tell them that he is the Lord that healeth them. Divine life is the highest form of provision for our body from God. But after divine life, then we have divine health, and then we have divine healing. Divine healing is perhaps the lowest of God's provision for our physical well-being. There are people, their main problem is the state of their body. At the age of 40, their body is almost like 50-something year old. You know, their body is not in the state in which it ought to be. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that's an area of your life. To what extent are you healthy? How is it that you find sleep? Do you have one complaint or another? That's an area of our lives. So these are all important subjects These are all important areas of our lives. And God wants you and I, in all of these areas of our lives, not to settle for anything less. He wants us to soar in your health. He wants you to operate in Isaiah 33:24, which says, none of the inhabitants of Zion shall say, I'm sick. When I looked at the ministry of Jesus Christ, there was never a time when he broke down or any of his apostles broke down and stopped his ministry from being able to move forward. But when you look at Apostle Paul, some of his own companions broke down. Trophimus broke down at a stage. Epaphras broke down at a stage. And they even had a doctor in their company, Luke, the beloved physician. So God is concerned about our physical life. He's concerned about our spiritual life. He's concerned about our mental life. Concerned about our emotional life. He's also concerned about our physical life. Then number four, is it number four, number five now? Number five, God is also concerned about your financial life. Financial life. How liquid are you? How comfortable are you financially? Are you a consumer or a producer of wealth? Are you an employee or an employer? How comfortable are you financially? To what extent do you have your finances in grips? Are you blessed the way God has promised? Deuteronomy 15:6 said, the Lord will bless you as he has said. You will lend unto nations you not borrow. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, the borrower is a servant to the lender. Now, why settle for less, even financially, when you can sow? You know, when I go from church to church, I always ask them, what's your financial state? Not just what is your attendance, not just what is the move of the Spirit. What is your financial state? How comfortable are you? What can you do with your finances? I mean, I lead a church in the Lord. I've led that church for 30 years thereabout. One thing I can say is that we have never been broke. We have never been broke. We have never bought things that we didn't pay for. Even when we built our facility then, in 2005 when we dedicated it, by the time we looked at how much we had spent, we spent almost $320 million, which is about $3 million then. And when we dedicated, we are not owing a dime for any reason in any area. So God is concerned about our financial life. The word of God says in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, he said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. So the God we serve is a God of gold, is a God of silver. And so you need to understand that God is concerned about our finances, so seriously concerned, because money is so important. I mean, we are told in Ecclesiastes 10:19 that money answereth all things. The place of money is such that cannot be overlooked. It's strategic. You know how you feel when you don't have money? You know how you feel when you have money, when your needs are met according to his riches and glory. So that's an area of our lives. Now, why do you have to settle for less financially when you can sow? The sixth area of our life is our relationships. All of us are in one form of relationship or the other. I mean, relationship in our family, relationship in our place of work, relationship in the neighborhood where we are. And God wants our relationship to be a source of joy to us, because God ordained relationship to be able to help us do what we cannot do ourselves. Relationships have a great role that they play in our life. God is interested in our relationships. I mean, he says it's not good for a man to be alone. I mean, when he made that statement, it does not necessarily mean that you have to be married. It simply means that you're going to have people in your life, and it's not good for you to be alone for any reason wherever you find yourself, because two are better than one. For they have a better reward, as it were, for their labor. So God is concerned about all these areas. And in all of these areas, you don't need to settle for less, because you can sow. Your relationship can be better. Your health can be better. Your finances can be better. Your mental life, the way you think, your thoughts can be such that you're not thinking, there are not thoughts of iniquity. I mean, your emotions can be more stable. You can be less fearful about tomorrow and what tomorrow holds. So God is concerned about your relationship. That's the sixth area. And then the seventh area of our lives is our vocation, our career, and our work. God is concerned about your work. I mean, when Jesus came here, he was talking about his work. That was the word he used to describe everything that he did while he was here. John 4:34, he says, my meat is to do the will of he that sent me and to finish his work. John 9:4, I must walk the walk of he that sent me while it is day, for the night coming when no man can walk. In John 5:17, he said, my father walketh hitherto and I walk. So he used that word walk, and God is concerned about your work, concerned about your business. I mean, if you are going to be a blessing in God's house, then you will have a source of income. And God wants you to have multiple sources of income. You know, because God is a God of rivulets of blessings, you know. He doesn't just want you to be monolithic in terms of the source from where your resources come from. He wants to multiply, as it were, your resources. So God is concerned about our relationship. There is no area of our lives, these seven areas I mentioned, that is not important to God. And I'm going to make some statements in the next few minutes about six statements in the next few minutes about why settle for less, as it were, if you can go from glory to glory, if you can go from strength to strength, why settle for less? Number one statement I want to make is just what I've just said. Why settle for less? If you can soar, why? One of the most tragic things that I've seen among Christians is that they settle for less in one area or another of the seven areas that I've just mentioned. Some Christians settle for less spiritually. Some of them settle for less in their career. Some of them settle for less in their relationship. But God does not want us to settle for less in any of these areas. He wants us to have a balanced life. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in good health. He wants us for our relationships to be in the best of shapes. He wants our spiritual life to be okay. So he wants the best for us in every area. So why settle for less if you can sow? Why do you need to do that? I mean, if you settle for less when you can sow, you're only cheating yourself. You're only depriving yourself of a provision that God has already made for us. And that is what we are talking about. Why settle for less? I always ask myself, why? Why cheat myself out of all of these things that are mine? 1 Corinthians 3:21 says, all things are yours. Psalm 84 verse 11, the Lord is a sun and a shield, he give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Luke 14:17 says, come, for all things are now ready. You know, I like that scripture. And then in Luke 15:31, it says, all that is mine is thine. Wonderful. So why settle for less? Ask yourself. Why cheat yourself? Why deprive yourself of it? I mean, everywhere around us, people are taking steps to make sure they do not just go forward, but they keep going forward. So it's important for us, because I want to deal with why people settle for less. Why is it that at times people settle for less, and why is it that people do not move forward and keep moving forward when there is the time and the opportunity to so do? That is what we are going to deal with. So why settle for less? You can take advantage of all that God has to offer. Now, I have discovered this. And as a young Christian, I made some decisions. Like I said, it's very tragic. I've discovered this, that many, many people settle for something else in the place of what God wants them to have. Something else. Some people settle for something less in the place of what God wants them to have. Some Christians settle for the same thing this year that they settled for last year. All of those things you are cheating yourself. And some people settle for what everybody settled for. And you don't have to. You don't have to. I don't have to settle for what you settle for. You could settle for something. I mean, so many years ago, I made up my mind that if I'm going to buy a house, wherever in the world, I'm going to buy it cash. Now, I may have settled for other options, because there are always other options, you know, to go about buying a house. But so many years ago, I said, look, if I'm going to. And when I bought my first house in 1992 in Spain, that was when I started. And I made up my mind, look, I'm going to save. I'm going to do all I can to get all I can. I'm going to do all I can to save all I can. I'm going to do all I can to invest all I can. And I'm going to do all I can to give all I can. And if I do these four things, I made up my mind, I'm not going to settle for something less than paying cash. Something else than paying cash. I'm not going to settle this year for what I settled for last year. And I'm not going to settle for something because everybody's settling for it. It's important for us to make that decision very early in life. Why settle for less? If I can soar. Why settle for less of who God wants you to be? Because there is a person God wants you to be. Before he formed you, he knew you, and before he brought you forth, he wanted you to be something. So why settle for less of who God wants you to be? Number two, why settle for less of where God wanted to get to in life? I'm telling you, there is a place God wants us to get to in life. That's why Hebrews 13:14 says, for here, have we no continuing city? We seek another one to come. Number three, why settle for less of what God wanted to have? You know, we settle for less of what God wants us to have. He wanted to have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Whereby given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that by these promises we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. Why settle for less of what God wants me to have? Why settle for less of who God wants me to be? Why settle for less of where God wants me to get to in life when I can soar? Number four, why settle for less of what God wants me to do? What God wants me to do? You know, it's possible as a church, as a family, as an individual, to settle for less of what God wants me to do. I mean, I recently have settled for less of what God wants me to do by just planting a big church and staying there and singing, and I let thy servant depart in peace, O God, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before all the people. You know, and not be very inconvenient by anybody, you know, just going through the motions and preaching every Sunday, having a midweek service and organizing small outreaches and just roll up and die, you know, like that. Why settle for less of what God wanted to do? I've discovered it's a tragic thing. People settle for less of who God wants them to be. They settle for less of what God wants them to have. They settle for less of where God wants them to get to. You see, when you look at the story of Abraham, it was Abraham's father that started the journey to the promised land. It wasn't Abraham. But they got to a place and got stuck. And at times, we settle for less of where God wants us to get to. You know, and then we also at times settle for less of what God wants to have. Then we settle for less of the kind of life he wants us to live. You know, I read about life. I love that word life. Jesus came not to give us a set of rules and regulations. He came to make available to us a kind of life. John said that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God told me years ago, I can never forget. He said, I did not just send Jesus to tell you to show that you may know who I am, but I also sent Jesus to tell you the kind of person I expect you to be. So Jesus came to mirror two things. Number one, who the Father looks like. Then number two, who God wants us to look like. And if you keep looking at Jesus as just the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and do not look at him as an example of the kind of person that God wanted to be, you are settling for less. Because Jesus said, the work that I do shall you do also. I mean, he said, where I am, there you will be also. John 13:15. He said, I've given you an example as I've done, even so do ye. 1 Peter 2:21, Christ have left for us an example that we should walk in his steps. So why settle for less? And that is what I do. I challenge people. It's tragic. You see people that God ordained to do great things settle for less. You see people God ordained to live a life, the kind of life that Apostle Paul lived, but they settle for less. Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. One of the things you need to make up your mind as a church or as a person or as a family is, we will not settle for less of who God wants us to be. We will not settle for less of what God wants us to have. We will not settle for less of where God wants us to get to. We will not settle for less of the kind of purpose God wants us to fulfill. So all these things are very important. So why settle for less? Why settle for today what you settled for yesterday? I mean, the people in our church know this. My wife even knows this. I won't settle for the same kind of hairstyle that you had last year. You're going to have to change. I won't settle for the kind of shape you had last year. I won't settle for the same kind of food. She needs to keep upping her game. You know, to sensitize my palate and make sure I'm tantalized, you know. You can't keep making the same hair in this world of variety and think I'll keep looking at you, you know. It's only Jesus we keep looking at, and he transforms us. But when we look around, we want to see boiled hair, fried hair, long hair, short hair, whatever. Just give me something new, okay? The Bible says in Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new. The God we serve is a God of newness. He wants new things. Behold, the former things have come to pass. New things do I declare. New things are very, very exciting. When a new baby is born, exciting. When a new ministry starts, exciting. You know, when a new house is dedicated, exciting. When new equipment are acquired, when a new phase of ministry starts, it's exciting. So we all have so many areas of our lives In all of those areas, are you settling for less? Are you settling for the same thing this year you settled for last year? Our choir knows this. I mean, if you sing a particular kind of song this Sunday, next Sunday you need to come up with something new. I mean, there are always better new ways of doing good old things. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. And if you are going to attract people, you only need to have variety. The God we serve is a God of variety. No two persons on the face of the earth are the same. And that is why if someone, you can't say somebody is ugly. Because the person you say is ugly is somebody's exciting offer. One man came to our church from Detroit. He was trying to get married. And so I thought, okay, the Hollywood idea of beauty is you have to be slim. So we went and got all the slim sisters for him to peruse and look at. And they passed before his face, you know, like they did in the book of Esther. I'm not the first person to do that. Here was a king from Detroit. He wanted a bride. So they passed. Oh, he said, I've enjoyed. He said, all these pack of bones. He said, I want somebody that when I hold, I know I'm holding something. He said, I want. So when we sent a word around the churches, and they got one from Obomasho, you know, gigantic, enormous, and colossal. And she even had additional features. She had beards. That's, I mean, when she saw that person, he whistled, said, oh, Lord, my God, how wonderful. When he whistled, I said, wow, everybody was shocked. I mean, God, who made the elephant also made the mosquitoes. You know, and I was telling my wife several years ago when we were trying to lose weight, by all means, I said, an elephant cannot compare to a mosquito. God, who made the cheetah also made the millipede. And all these people, all these products, creatures of his, are fulfilling their purpose. So why settle for less? Why settle for what somebody else settled for? You are a mosquito. That's who you are. You are an elephant. That's who you are. In our church, we always have this annual fashion parade. You know, and we have a clothesline that is called Big, Bold, and Beautiful. Fat, yes, fat and flourishing, we call them. And we allow them also to express themselves in the clothes that fit them. Not only those ones that come like that in the catwalk. There are some people that are not cats, they are elephants, they are rhinoceros, they are hippopotamus. And you must allow them to have their own expression. And we always allow them to have their own expression. Because we know that God is a God of variety. So why settle for less? That's the question. And I always ask myself, and that's what I'm going to deal with in a few minutes from now, why is it that people settle for such things? Why is it that people refuse to sow? Why is it that people get nailed to the floor? Why is it that churches get nailed to one pattern of doing things? Why is it that churches don't move forward? Why is it that some move forward for a while and then stop moving forward? And they cannot break out of the left and the right, so they cannot attract people from across board. I always say this to churches, if all you are attracting is a particular set of people, then something is wrong with what you are serving them. The house of God must be a house of prayer for all nations. It must be such that what you serve is accepted. It's a body of Christ. It does not have color. It does not have age limit. It does not have all those dimensions. But you need to serve a dish that is acceptable to a crossbody in such a way that, I mean, whatever kind of person you want, if you want employers, you find them. Employee, you find them. Rascals, you find rascals. You find people who are into movie, people who are into athletics, and that is how the house of God ought to be. I mean, when I think about Noah's Ark, I used to preach a message years ago titled Noah the Consummate Pastor. You know, in Noah's Ark, every kind of animal was there. And in the church, all kind of animals. You know, some people think, oh, you have to be like this if you're going to be in this church. No, be anything. We'll keep you here at least for 150 days. And that was one thing that Noah did. Was able to keep all those animals, the giraffes, the gorillas, the crocodile, and he kept them for 150 days and he didn't hear about a fight. So I tell pastors, ask for the spirit of Noah to rest upon you mightily. So that you'll be able to keep all these people together and still be able to have the kind of results you need to have. So the first question is, why settle for less when and if you can sow? Number two point I want to make very quickly. The Bible is full of people who soared, people who went from glory to glory. The Bible is full of people who made progress and kept making progress. The Bible is full of such people. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It said, the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. But the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. The Bible talking about David in 1 Corinthians 11:9. Despite the challenges and the issues that he had, he said David was greater and greater. Look at Mordecai. Esther chapter 9 verse 4. He said Mordecai was greater and greater. Look at Isaac with all the challenges of his environment. You see, many times, where we are, what we settle for is our choice. Not because we don't have options. There are always options. You can always get something better. You can always get something higher. You can always get something deeper. You can always get something larger than whatever you have. Because the God we serve is the God of increase. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 8. He said, I have redeemed you and you will increase as you have increased. Psalm 115 verse 14. He said, I will increase you more and more, you and your children. Psalm 105 verse 24. He said, he increases people more and more until they become stronger than their enemies. There's nothing wrong in starting small, but everything is wrong in remaining small. And that is why I'll always tell people, I don't see a church as a small church. It's a growing church. When I came here yesterday, I said, this is not a small church. It's a growing church. I mean, even 3 years, you're able to hold your first conference. I mean, that's wonderful. So you're a growing church. Because though your beginning was small, there's nothing wrong in being small. You know, in those days, I used to feel very bad. You know, when pastors meet, and I see big pastors, you know, and I feel very small in my own eyes. You see, but one thing that thing did to me was make me keep pressing up, keep making effort. That there is nothing these people have that I don't have. They have a call, I have a call. They have the Bible, I have the Bible. They pray in the Spirit, I pray in the Spirit. They are in this world, I'm in this world. And that was one reason I said, look, I will get there. The difference between you and I is time. The difference between a big shot and a small shot is time. You know, your own time will come, your own tongue will come, your own day will come. That is one thing that keeps people moving forward. So the Bible is full of people who soared, people who started small, who pressed forward. Look at Isaac. When you read Genesis 26, you read verse 12 down to 14, you'll see how he was great in a land of famine. There was famine. The Bible says he sowed. He did not regard the cloud, he did not regard the wind. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4, 11 verse 6, say that regard the wind will not sow, that regard the cloud in the morning, sow your seed in the evening, you turn not your hand from sowing, because you don't even know which one. So why settle for less? Ask yourself, why am I settling for this kind of a job? Does it mean there's nothing bigger than this? Why settle for this kind of a house? Does it mean there's nothing better than this? Does it mean this is the best that God can offer me? Does it mean this is the best that my potential express? That is the way I've always lived my life. I mean, years ago, you know, when we started our ministry in Ilorin, and, you know, the days of little beginnings, as Zechariah 4:10 says, who have despised the days of little beginnings. And then we started and we opened our first church in Ibadan. People said, Reverend George, we go to Ibadan. I say, Ibadan is too small for me. So people looked at me and say, what's wrong with you? I say, Ibadan is too small. So 1991, we opened our church in Lagos. They say, Reverend George, you now leave and go to Lagos. I say, Lagos is too small. 1989, I traveled to England for the first time. They say, you will now go and live in London. I say, London is too small. I said, the earth is my constituency. If you get to my room, all over the wall of my room, all you see are posters and banners about the world. On my table, there are about 3 different, 4 globes of the world. And all I do is just roll them and look at them. Which country do I want to go next? Where do I want to plant my feet? Because God's word tells me the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. So from a child, I have built the capacity within me that everything is mine. And that if I have a need, God who made the silver and the gold, and the God who made the heavens and the earth will supply my need according to his riches in glory. I believe that the distance between heaven and earth is not far. I mean, God has heaven there to make provisions for us, those of us who live on the earth. So you need to come to a point. Why settle for less? The Bible is full of people who started, who soared. People who were nobody in the beginning, but who became somebody. Number 3 statement I want to make is soaring. You know, going from glory to glory, it is a characteristic of the righteous. A righteous person is expected and required and commanded to make progress. A righteous person. Job 17 verse 9. The righteous holdeth unto his ways. He that is of a clean hand will grow stronger and stronger. 2 Corinthians, we just read chapter 3 verse 18. He said from glory to glory. Romans 1:17, from faith to faith. Psalm 84 verse 7, he said from strength to strength. So one of the things that the righteous experience and enjoy is progression. If someone says, am I right? And you want to check out, are you making progress? 2 Corinthians 5:7, for walk by faith, that's progress, and not by sight. We keep getting better. Colossians 2:19 talks about increasing with the increase. So why settle for less? When I am the righteous of the Lord. When the Bible tells me categorically, Job chapter 8, verse 7, though your beginning was small. He said your latter end, should. He did not say shall, he said should. Which means all things being equal, everything being in place, should greatly increase. Your beginning was small, of course. Beginning can be small. Beginning can be small. There's nothing wrong with starting in a small way. But everything is wrong with remaining small. Start small and think big. And that is it. So why settle for less when I can soar? Why settle for less? Because when there is provision, when there are promises, when there is support for me to soar, why settle for less? Why settle for less? Why remain where you are when the ocean is still available? Why go backward when you can go forward? Why bow out when you can trudge on? Why settle for less? If you can soar. The Bible is full of it, and it is a characteristic of the righteous. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. It says, the path of the righteous is what? As a shining light. How? Shining more and more to a perfect day. I like that Psalm 119 verse 105. He said, thy word is a lamp and then a light. A lamp. Where I am, lamp, and then where I'm going, light. God who commanded light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us so many examples. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I mean, if you are static, I don't know why you should be static. If you are not moving forward, I don't know why you should not be moving forward. If you are not getting better things out of your life, I don't know why it should be so. I was telling my wife, I said, marriage is supposed to be that the older we get, the sweeter it is. I mean, that's how it is. Say the day of death is better than the day of birth. When we are born, we cried and people rejoice. When we are going to die, let it be that we are laughing and people are crying. Because we leave a footprint on the sands of time. Why settle for less? Well, you can. I tell our church, why do we have to do it in the cheap way? Why do we have to go about it in a lazy way? Why do we have to go about it in a beggarly way? When we can soar. When we can soar. Soaring is always available to those who are going to seize the opportunity. You have the potential as an eagle to soar. Whether you eventually soar or not, it's your choice. It's your choice. Environment can make you so stifled. When you have been born as an eagle, but when you grow in the environment of chicken, you become a chicken. When you allow people to knock you down and tell you what you can do, apart from what the Spirit of God is saying you can do. One thing in life is that people have told me, I cannot do many things that I did. And I told them, I'm going to do it to let you know that I can do it. When I was going to go into full-time ministry, I told my senior brother, I said, I don't try it though. I said, I'm not trying it, I'm doing it already. I'm not trying it. When we're going to build our sanctuary, some of my friends who are MD of banks, they offered me a loan. They said, nobody does this kind of thing like that in a place like Illinois. I said, I'm going to do it to prove that it can be done. I'm going to do it to let you know that God is the source and not the economy of the environment. He did not say the economy of my city supply my need. He said, my God supply my need according to his riches. Where he's supplying for is not poor. He said, according to his riches. God gave me a wonderful illustration of that scripture years ago. He said, when a millionaire bless you according to his riches, you ask for 10,000, he gives you 100,000. That is a blessing you not according to your desire, but according to his riches. He says, so when my children ask me, see, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. You're looking at someone here who has gone through it all. Why settle for less if you can sow? Why settle for less? For so many years, I rode a motorcycle, Suzuki 100. OY84-05Y. And it was sweet where it lasted. And then after some time, I started using fairly used cars. You know, and I came to a point, I said, there was nothing fairly used in the Garden of Eden. Everything was new. He made all things new. I said, no, I'm not going to use Fiana used anymore. I'm going to begin to buy new things. He's a God of new things. Steadfast love of Lord and does never cease. His mercy never come to an end. They are new every month. So after a while, I said, new things not even enough. Everything in the Garden of Eden was custom made. One copy for that family. So I want custom made. Bespoke, you know bespoke? Bespoke suit, bespoke shirt. I mean, the way I dressed during my 6 year birthday, those suits I wore, they are not the ones, they are not clones. We have to go to Italy to order it. In the fact, she said, this is how we want. You saw, did I wear some of them? Okay. For those of you who did not come, you can watch the video on YouTube. But it's better to be there. I mean, she was there. So let me go on here. So I said, no. I don't want things cloned anymore. I want them real, original. I want them done for me. I want them manufactured. A designer manufacture. You know. Like I tell my wife, I don't want to eat soup for 3 days. I want a la carte. As I want it today, that's where I want it. She said you wanted pepper yesterday. I said today I don't want pepper. A la carte. That's why settle for less when you can do what? Soar. Okay? Soaring is the characteristic of the righteous. Anybody can measure their righteousness by soaring. Look at David. He soared because of his righteousness. When God saw him, Psalm 18, verse 20, he said, I found David, the son of Jesse. He said, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Acts 13:22 and 1 Samuel 13:14 said he was a man after God's own heart. I mean, that is something. He's soared. David soared. Number four. The fourth thing I want to say is this. I said I'm going to say about six things about soaring and why settle for less when you can soar. When you can soar, why settle for less? The time has come for you to sit yourself down and say, why settle for this if I can have everything? If all things are mine, why do I have to settle for this? I mean, growing up in a place like Loring Ministry and family and all of that, very many times I've sat there and said, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. Because I've taken it does not mean I'm going to take it again. Why settle for the same thing this year that you settled for last year? Why settle for the same job for so long, the same house for so long, the same clothes for so long, the same situation of things for so long? I remember some time as a bachelor, some witches came and they were meeting under a tree near my house. Witches. Now, I was in the occult before I left. I became a Christian. Now, witches now came near my house. And they will be talking in the night and everybody will be hearing what they are saying. And everybody in the neighborhood started moving away. You know, because you will hear them. They will tell you, I killed so-and-so. I did so-and-so. I went so-and-so. I poisoned this. I did that. You will hear them boldly. And everybody was leaving. And so one day, one man came to me who happened to be from the Christ Apostolic Church, CAC. He said, Pastor George, I said, yes. He said, have you not tried to look for another accommodation? I said, why? I said, when I was in the occult, I left to become a Christian. Now I'm a Christian. I will not be running for witches. Why settle for less if I can swear? So what did I do? I decided that the best form of defense is attack. So I know the tree where they usually meet. So what I did on this Friday was I fasted from morning till night. And then when it was 8:30, they normally come by 9:30, I lit a bush lamp and sat under the tree, waiting for them to come. I mean, will a man like me, man say, run away? Why settle for less? Why? Whatever you have settled for, ask yourself, why? Why have you settled to be an employee for this long and forever? Let me say this to you. Nobody can be rich by working for somebody else. Until you, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him do what? Work with his hands. The things that are good that you may have to give. Those who work with their hands are the people that support the church most. Those who wait on salary before it comes out is finished. But if you work with your hands, the things that are good, you will always have to give. And so we encourage people in our church, not remain an employer forever. I mean, employee forever. When I started working, I was not even a Christian. But I said to myself, whatever I do, wherever I walk, even if it's with the Queen of England, By the time I spend 15 years, I will disengage. So we always tell our people, when you start working, come to a point where you have an exit strategy. Begin to plan your strategy at the point when you start. And don't just be there for so long, forever. You know, as it was in the beginning, so is it now, forevermore. What without end? Begin to think, what am I going to do with my life? Will I just go through this motion? 9 to 5, will I just keep going and coming, keep going and coming? In fact, many of our graduates in our church, we never tell them to look for work. We tell them to create work. And you see them, young boys and girls, millionaires. Because when you work with your hands, your potential gets manifested. Everything and all things you can do becomes visible. You know, so it's important for us to know that, number four now, in God's plan, you will see there's a plan for us to sow. Not only is it the characteristic of the righteous to sow, but God's plan is a plan to sow. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I understood like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. God wants us not just to remain children. Jesus, Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. From being a child to being a son. God does not just want you to keep being blessed. He wants you to be what? A blessing. So in the plan of God, God's plan, in God's plan, I want you to know this. In God's plan, there is a space for you to move on, to get better, to advance, to increase. And the Bible said, of the increase of the Lord, there shall be no end. It's the plan of God for us to grow. To grow. 1 Peter 2:2, as little born babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. There are 6 dimensions of growth. And these 6 dimensions are so important. Number one, we need to grow up. Grow up. A church needs to grow up. To grow up means to grow towards the vision that God has given us. A life needs to grow up. If you don't know God's purpose for your life, locate it. Then grow up towards that thing. Grow up. Then number two kind of growth, grow down. Take root. Isaiah 37:31. The remnant of Judah shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. If the church is growing up, it also needs to grow down. People need to be established in the doctrines of Christ. People need to be established in the doctrines of God's word. Not just frivolous Christianity. Then number three, growing word, character development. Don't just come to church, be rooted in church, have title in church, but you need to grow inward. The quality of a tree is determined by its inward life. That is who we are, our character, our attitude. You need to grow up, grow down, grow inward, then grow outward in influence. Grow outward. I don't care about the size of a church. What's your influence? What are you impacting? What are you doing in your environment? What new thing are you bringing on the lives of people who are in your immediate suburbs? Some years ago when I was working with a campus crusade for Christ, we discovered that many people who live near churches do not come to those churches. That is one of the studies that we did then, you know, in Arrow Springs, California. So many people who, in other words, churches located in an area usually don't have many people living, coming to that church. And what was it that we discovered? You see, while people have something inside the church, immediately they leave the church building and they go on the streets, they are something else. Their language, the way they carry themselves, the thing they say. And the neighbors in the neighborhood where the church is, when you leave the church, they hear you. They see you, how you treat your children. They see the women, how they treat their husband. They see the husband, how they treat their wives. And so church puts them off because they feel, wow, look at these people. Look at these people. They just left the church, but look at their behavior. You know. So we need to grow outward. You know, don't talk about what you have. Talk about the use into which you have put it. Talk about the impact. We are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13, we are also the light of the world. So we need to grow. We need to grow outward. Then number five, we need to outgrow some things. Outgrow. We need to outgrow. You know, as children, many of us know what it feels to outgrow your dresses, outgrow your trousers. And when your children are outgrowing their clothes, it's exciting. Parents are happy when you outgrow your clothes. But when you are still wearing the same clothes you wore when you are 6 months, at the age of three, then something is wrong. So outgrow. The plan of God is for us to soar. That's why he made us eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. The plan of God is that you soar. The plan of God is that you soar instead of settling for less. Settling for less makes God unhappy when he looks at you. When he sees the life you are living, not and that cannot be compared with the life that he planned for you to live, he is sad. When he looks on his church and see that we doubt more than believe, he is unhappy. When he looks at your family and sees stagnation instead of enlargement, he is grieved. The Bible says concerning Jesus, God, when he was looking at Jesus in Isaiah 53:11, he said he shall see the travail of his soul and he'll be satisfied. When he looked at Jesus, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. If God were to look at you now, is he well pleased with your performance? 42 years old, does your life, your achievement, performance reflect that age? 15 years in America, does your life reflect 15 years in America? I've been working for 25 years, but you can still not afford basic things. Now that's a shame. You see, the point is this. Why settle for less when I can soar? We nullify God's plan for our lives when we settle for less. God's church is supposed to be a triumphant church. We're not supposed to be a little speck of nothing in the environment. We are the light of the world. And we make bold to do that. In our community in Tanke, in Ilorin, we do what we call prayer walking on the street. When crime was so rife, we went to the police and said, listen, what we want to do is this. We want to supply you with an intercessor. We know you don't have more than two or three vehicles, but two intercessors will join you in the vehicle. As you are parading to clean the atmosphere in a police way, we are parading to clean it spiritually. So the intercessors will enter their bus or their car. And while they are policing the place, they will pray. In the process, all the police in the vehicle got born again and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, now what I'm saying is this. Why settle for less when we can soar? Always ask yourself, this thing that I'm settling for, is there not something better than this? This life that I'm getting used to, is there not something better than this? This condition that I've accepted as fate, is there not something better than this? Why settle for less when you can soar? There's a church I go to in England. I've been going there 23, 25 years now. Now, every February, whenever I come there, they send a man to the airport to collect me. Whenever the man comes, he just collects me from the airport. But I noticed 3 years in a row, he was dressed in the same t-shirt. And he had a toothpick at the corner of his mouth. And that was what he was doing year in year. So I asked him, I said, how are you? Sir? We are here. Every year, the answer was the same. We are here. I said, you are here doing what? I said, we are just here. So I had to tell the pastor, please don't send this man to collect me again. This man who is just here, his life does not mean much to him. And I discovered he just drives anyhow. You know, because his life means nothing. So I had to tell the pastor, please send somebody else. But you see, after I made that statement, I called him. I said, come, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't have papers. I said, it does not take having papers for you to make a living. This is the 21st century. I said, you can make something through the internet. I said, you can go and learn something, a skill. You don't have to wait for somebody to employ you. You don't have to wait for somebody to employ you. And he looked at me and said, then what can I do? I said, look, in this country, it's a very cold country. So learn how to do R&A and how to do heating. He said, I don't have money. You know, he was always trying to throw it off. So I told the pastor, I said, please, pastor, I will give half. You give half. Let's send him to school. So we sent this man to school. He learned about plumbing 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. He graduated. Now this man is an employer of labor now. He drives a brand new car. He's got houses. Every time he looks at me, he said, you are the one who reminded me of what I carry. I'm here to let you know you carry something. Why settle for that kind of a life? If you can soar, you carry the life of an eagle. The older you get, the better. You're not supposed to be where you are. You're not supposed to be doing the things you are doing. You're not supposed to be tolerating some things you've tolerated just because you've always tolerated it. The time has come for you to shake these things off. Shake the beast into the fire. The life of God is burning in you. Shake the beast off. Don't be a carrier of these things, you have something. Can there be a blessed generation? You can stand out. You can be the standard. You can be the reference point. You don't have to be where you have always been because you have always been there. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for you to be stagnated, nailed to the floor. Because within you is the hope of glory. You carry a lot of... Today, that man doing great. Another woman. I mean, she was cooking for me. And I like her cooking. I said, wow. I said, well, what do you do? He said, I don't do anything. I said, why? He said, well, I did a computer IT. That's my area. I said, he said, I'm looking for work. I said, no, you're not looking for work. Work is looking for you. With this cooking you are doing, this is work. He said, I grew up in a family where we like to cook. I said, eh? And that's what I said, what you do, this is a hobby. I said, you can make money from your hobby. She looked at me and said, is it possible? I said, yes. Today, that woman's got 5 restaurants in London. She went back to Nigeria to establish 3 of the same restaurants. And today, when I get to England, she feeds me free of charge. It's not wrong for me to free of charge. That kind of instance. So what I'm saying is this, she had it all the while. Just like Moses had the rod all the while. He thought it was an ordinary rod. What you think is an ordinary gift is not so ordinary. If you put it in God's hand, little is much if you can put it in God's hand. Why settle for less when you can? So in the plan of God, it is that you should soar. The plan of God is that you get better. The plan of God is that you go forward. What's great until you become very great? I do not know any of his children for which he has a small plan. Years ago, meeting Nora Robert through the Kenethiki ministry, years ago when I used to go to Kenethiki ministries a lot, come all the way from Nigeria to attend the July convention, the camp meeting. And one day we went to Nora Robert and we just went there. It's just like a tourist for Africans, you know, and then we got there. And I saw a little plaque on Ora Robert's table. I mean, it has never left my mind. In those days, there were no cameras you can snap with, all of that. Just snap with your eyes, you know. You can snap with your eyes. And that's all we can do, you know. And I saw this small plaque, and it says, make no small plans here. And when you look at people like Ora Robert, they blazed the trail. In modern Christianity, they charted a course. They broke new grounds, you know. And we need to also know that we are only here. We are here to also chart a course and blaze a trail, to break up fallow grounds, to take possession of the gates of the enemy, to acquire what the enemy has taken to himself, and to live a life that is not just ordinary, but supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. Why settle for less? When you can sow. In the plan of God is that you should sow. Let me say this to you. The plan of God for your life is that you should soar. Jeremiah 29:11, my thoughts in our I only know. I like the Amplified. Say, I only know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an end and an expectation. Let me give you one more here and tie this up so that I can begin to close gradually. You know, a good minister closes 5 times. Now, the Bible is also full. Not just of people who soared, but people who expressed serious desire to soar. People who expressed serious desires to soar. Look at this woman called Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. She was going to church like everybody went to church. But the rival wife was giving birth to children like rabbits. But she had nothing to show for it. A day came when she made up her mind, I'm not going to accompany them anymore. Have you accompanied people to this world? Are you just one of those people who are healing people? You are not supposed to be a news, somebody who listens to the news, but you are supposed to be a newsmaker. You are supposed to be a difference maker. So Hannah said one Sunday, I mean, let me just use that word. Well, I'm not going to go back home like I've always been going. I'm not going to do the same thing I've always done. I'm going to stay back here until I can have answers. She has always depended on the priest who was backsliding. You know, it depended on who was leading to pray for her and have her desires granted. But this time she took her destiny in her hands. If you are still looking at crutches, people who are crutches, and still depending on them to be answers to your predicament, you are wasting your time. If you are really serious about swearing, you need to do something about it. You need to do something. When we go to programs, don't just be excited about what is said or what is preached, but be excited about how you can implement it. what you can do, because it's the doing of it that there is a great reward. If you know these things, John 13:17, happy are you if you do them. James 1:21, put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Romans 2:13, is not the hearer of the Lord that is justified, but the doers of it. The doers of it. So the Bible is full of people who express great desire to show up. I looked at a young man in Mark 10. The Bible said the young man saw Jesus Christ, verse 17 to 21. The Bible said he ran towards Jesus. The Bible said he knelt down. When you see a man kneeling down, then you know there is something. He knelt down and he said, good master, what good thing can I do that I may inherit everlasting life? That's somebody who wants to swear. Have you ever asked God the question, what can I do to make a difference? What can I do to really be wealthy? What can I do to break into the top echelon of this society? What can I do to get in more members? What can I do to break new grounds of ministry? What church can I follow? What can I do in my industry to do things differently? And that is important. It's people who ask such questions who soar. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? The Bible is full of people who express desire. Rachel talked to Isaac one day. He says, give me children or I die. Give me children. He said, Genesis 32. He said, or else I die. Look at what the wife of Abraham did. Sarah, in Genesis 16. She had to bring the house girl and say, look, I want you to learn my homage. The Bible is full of people who express great desire to sow. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, why settle for less when you can sow? Why? Why have you accepted it? Is it because everybody accepts it? Why have you accepted it? Because you think it's your faith? Why have you accepted it? Because of your condition and situation? Not even the three Hebrew children accepted it. They look at the king in the face, eyeball to eyeball. They say, if it be so, we'll not be careful to answer you in this matter. The God we serve is able to deliver us. See, but be it known that even if he does not deliver us, we'll not bow down. You need to get to that kind of point where you're no longer taking no for an answer. Why settle for less? Why settle for less? They used to tell us in the learning that a church cannot grow in love. I said, forget that. The seed of God's word is incorruptible. There is no soil where you plant it that will not grow. I've been in the worst of countries like Sudan, Somalia, Lesotho, Swaziland. These are places that eat up the inhabitants. When I went to Sudan and Somalia and Eritrea, in Sudan and Somalia in those days when I went there, it was a member of our church who was working with Schlumberger who was doing some construction work in the country. You cannot even bring Bible into the country. But you know what? They had a church. They don't call it church. They call it family meeting. They invited me from Ilorin to go there. I went there. He said, don't bring Bible. In those days, it's not smartphone. So I said, that's why it's good to be a working Bible. So they said, yeah, we don't. And they said, the meetings we have are nocturnal meetings. When you go for fellowship, there is no light. Because nobody knows what everybody else is thinking about the other person. Or else they will go and snitch on you and tell them you are a Christian. And it is death. It is non-negotiable. It's death. It's non-negotiable. But you see the fellowship, the way they sang. If you see the fellowship, the way we are excited, and it was under the ground. No windows, nothing. No light. You can see the excitement. You can see people worshiping God. I said, wow, the incorruptible seed can grow anywhere. You see, a gift is like a precious stone in the eyes of him that has it. Wherever you turn, you prosper. They told us, Ilorin is this, Ilorin is that. You know, it's Ilorin, which means grinder of iron. They will grind you even if you're iron. You know, you can't do it from here. You can't survive it from here. When the Emir of Ilorin was celebrating his 11th year anniversary on the throne, he gave me an award for environmental impact. So when I saw the award, now this man is a retired justice of the Supreme Court. So I sent some of our elders. I said, go there and ask him. Because I don't know how. He said, we know you. He said, we know it is the way you came. We have studied you and we have people who come to your church. we hear your message on TV, and we see that you are practical and direct in the way you talk about your own God. You're not busy putting down other people's God. You can never convince a Muslim by putting down his God. Give him the alternative of what is better and what is higher, and they will accept it. And that is why many of them were in our church today. One girl called me one day and said, "What can I do to be a Christian?" She came to the church from her house. "What can I do?" She was covered in hijab. I said, "Christian?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" He said, "The way I look at you, sir, I like it. I like to be like this. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Are you the kind of person that will express a great desire to sow? Why settle for less when you can sow? Let this year be the turning point. Let this season be the season of the beginning of limit-breaking efforts on your side. Let this year be the year you're going to stretch out and possess back the gates of your enemy and the ground that you have lost. Why settle for less? Why settle for what everybody is settling for? Everybody in the boat with Peter sat in the comfort of the boat after even eating one basket of leftover food. You know, in Matthew 14, after the miracle, he said they picked up baskets. They picked up how many? 12. They gave a basket each to every one of those brothers. And they sat in the boat and they ate. And that's why the boat was in the middle of the, after eating the 12 baskets. What do you expect? And Jesus kept walking on the water. Wow. Why settle for inside the boat if I can walk like this? The work that I do, shall you do? He said, "Where I am, there you'll be also." Why settle for less if I can do this? He said, "Jesus, if it is you," that's the kind of spirit you need to have. "If it is you who have sent Reverend George to this conference, if it is you who have sent him with this message, please be to come." And he said, "What? Come." As simple as that. "If it is you who have told me to build the house, tell me to come. Build it. If it is you who have told me to be an employer instead of an employee, tell me to come. He'll tell you, come. If it is you who have said that I should break forth new grounds, if it is you who have told me to go here, go there, do this, just tell me." And all he's going to do is just say, "Come." God wants me to challenge you, provoke you, to steer yourself out of the net. God has always been known to get hold of people. But the greatest miracle is when people steer up themselves to get hold of God. You need to steer up yourself. You can't continue this way. You can't accept this because you have always accepted it. You can't accept it because everybody around you accepts it. You cannot take it like that because everybody takes it like that. When God called me in Lorraine, December 19, 1981, he said, "I have called you, I have chosen you, I have ordained and anointed you to take my word to the nations." There was a prophet in the town, a senior colleague, prophet. So I went and told the man, I said, "God is calling me to the nations of the world." The man looked at me and said, "Where did you say?" He said, "The nations of the world." You can expect people, you see, we expect people to know, not knowing that God did not speak to them about us. He spoke to us only about us. So I told him, the man said, "What?" The man looked at my motorcycle. He said, "You want to go to the world on this motorcycle? You want to travel the nations using this motorcycle?" He said, "This motorcycle cannot even get to a fire town." The man said, "I've been in this town since 1977 in ministry. And I have never said, God tell me to go to the nations." You know, when he said that, my heart was crushed. I felt you should know, but he didn't know. The Bible said in Psalm 82, verse 5 and 6, "They know none other do they understand. They walk out in darkness, and all the foundation is out of course." He said, "But I've said, you are gods, and you are children of the Most High God." He said, "But you die like men and perish like one of the princes." I told him, and I said, "I know God told me. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he spoke to me. I know I heard him. I even know this body warms it, I know I heard him. I know he spoke to me in the English language. And the word he said, heaven and earth will pass, I will not pass away. I stirred up myself. Today the rest, they say, is history." The man visited me once, and he told me once, when he came to me to visit me once, he came to me and he said, "I was wrong about you." You know what? I want somebody 5 years' time to say I was wrong about you. I was wrong about you. Probably when he was going to start this ministry, some people said, don't think because you see everybody do. My wife told me. I told my wife, I said, God has come into the world. He said, where? He said, the world. He said, where is the world? Where really is the world? I said, the nations of the earth. My wife said, listen to me. My father was a Muslim. My mother was a Christian. I grew up in a family where I suffered. I don't want to come and suffer in your household. He said, just promise me that I will not suffer. I said, I can guarantee you don't suffer. And so when things were not working, he said, but you told me. You told me. I said, yet a little while, and he that will come will come. Why settle for less when you can do what? Soar. Push yourself a little bit. Push yourself to the limit. Push yourself beyond the limit. Push yourself to the point where it will take the grace of God for the next thing to happen. Until you have used all your energy, God will not use his own energy to support you. Closing now, quickly, because of time. A good minister closes 5 times. Why is it that people settle for less? What is the reason why people don't soar? I'm trying to give you just, I'll give you as many as I can give you. And then you just pray all of us and go before the Lord. But what I'm saying in this church today is not just for this church, but it's also for all of us. It's relevant to our families, relevant to our ministries, relevant to our businesses, relevant to our health. Some years ago, I was on serious medication. But I said to myself, I looked at the medication. I said, listen, I'm not against medication. I said, but I'm not going to take this thing till I die. I said, God, you're going to have to do something about my health, my physical life. If I'm going to be able to travel the way I travel and be able to do ministry the way you want me to do ministry, I can't be this sick as hospital, taking about 20 capsules a day. I said, no, I can't do that. I mean, I could have settled for it and said, because the doctor said, oh, you know, you're gonna have to do it. No, I'm not against that. But there comes a time when you know medicine does not kill you. And medicine will never heal you. Medicine will never. It's the Lord that heals. He said, I am the Lord. He didn't say I'm one of your options. He didn't say I'm one of, medicine will never come. Look, I've tried this in many ways. And I've come to a conclusion that you need to come to the point where you reject what your father have not planted in your life. Every plant my father has not planted, Matthew 15:13, shall be uprooted. God told Jeremiah, I have raised you up this day to root out, to throw down, to uproot, to destroy, then to build and plant. Then he asked him, what do you see? He said, I have raised you up for this, but what do you see? What do you see? It's what you see that determines what you do. You can never do anything if you don't see anything. The world is your constituency. When I came here yesterday, I didn't see, I told them here. I said, this is not Victory House. This does not look like Victoria's House. Look at that, Victoria's House. Doesn't look like it. So you need to see something. Isaiah 3:17. Your eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Your eyes shall behold the land afar off. Have not been there, you can see it from afar. And get excited. Years ago, I saw today. So many years ago, I saw today. And I rejoiced in seeing it. But not everybody saw it. I said, see, my wife said, what? Even my senior brother, I told him, I said, I'm going all over the world. He said, to where? To do what? Recently, he said, I'm proud to be your brother. You know what? He said, I'm proud. He said, you saw it when we did not see it. I said, because it has to do with me. That's why I saw it. Today, if you open your eyes, Zechariah 4:2, Zechariah 5:2, the angel of the Lord said to Zechariah, what do you see? Amos 7:8, Amos 8:2, the angel of the Lord said to Amos, what seest thou? Better is the sight of the eyes, Ecclesiastes 6:9, than the wandering of the spirit. What do you see? What do you see today? God told Abraham, lift up your eyes from the place where you now stand, north, south, east, west, whatsoever you can see, you can have. Joshua 1:3, wherever the soles of your feet shall touch. I had to buy a map of the world and put it on the floor of my room. Wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, they are mine. One day, one young man came to the house with me and said, what's that, sir? I said, that's my new rug. He said, why are you having that? He said, where the soles of my feet shall touch. I said, this is a prophetic declaration. Where the soles of my feet shall touch, they are mine. I took Joshua one time. I said, God, you said, where the soul? He said, my soul is touching Belgium, Finland, Siberia, Czechoslovakia, Slovakia, Slovenia. Today, all of it has become reality. Why settle for less when you can do what? So, why take the easy way out? The patriarchs of old refused deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Why take the easy way all the time? Why is it that you need to borrow to get out of debt? Why not believe God? Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. In those days before I started using my faith for my health, it wasn't easy. It was malaria in those days. You know, the medicine is there. I just take medicine and you'll be okay. I said, no. If I cannot, it's better for me to die in faith than to live in doubt. I'm going to believe God. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And those are the statements of somebody who keeps his word. Numbers 23, verse 19. So shall my words be that proceed out of my mouth. I mean, he says, God is not a man to lie down, the Son of Man to repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken it? Will he not make it good? So let's quickly go through this point. Why is it that people never really swear? Why is it that people accept, they settle for less instead of swearing? Number one, because they have not discovered their purpose for life. They have not discovered their purpose. The purpose simply means the reason for your being. The reason why you are created. The reason why you have gone through what you've gone through. When you know the reason why you are here, and you hold on to that reason, you cannot but soar. What is my purpose for being in Chicago? Until you realize what the purpose is, you can't soar. You are not happening to occur in Chicago. 47 years ago, God told me, Elonry is the place where you are going to stay. And I said, why? He said, I want you to make Elonry relevant on the spiritual map of the world. So everywhere you get to, instead of Elonry being known for having the second largest mosque in sub-Saharan Africa, they will know that there is a light that is shining out of this place. What am I trying to say? The first thing, if you are going to soar, there must be a purpose. There must be a focus. There must be something that you have come to realize. And for as long as you hold on to that thing, you can't go under. If God's purpose for you is to paint, hold on to that. Sports, hold on to that. Hold on to that and use that as a pulpit. They call it a marketplace ministry. Jesus did not use all those highfalutin, mouth-breaking words. You don't make simple things difficult. What is marketplace? Simply means in your world. That's it. Where you find yourself. It could be medicine. For example, my brother is a cardiothoracic surgeon. Internationally acclaimed. He goes to Israel. He goes to India. He goes all over the places. My brother would never pastor the church. He would never even preach. Even to get him to go to church is difficult. But you know what? In that place where he does his medicine, he has led more people to Christ than some pastors of mega churches. He soared with it. He soared with his medicine. Medicine. He soared with it. I mean, he's known for, he has raised up, he was telling me recently, he said, I have raised 168 professors of cardiothoracic surgery all over the world. People that I mentored, people that I trained. The first thing if you are going to soar is, what is my purpose in life? Years ago, I told God, I'm good at many things. I played table tennis. I played for Kwara State. I did high jump for Kwara State. Represented Kwara State in 1973, 1975. National Sports Festival. I used to play soccer. In those days, soccer was not a good source of income. I played for Kwara Water Corporation, which was the best team then in Ilorin. But with all of these gifts and talent, I went to God and I said, this is all I have. Which one is my purpose? He said, I have called you. I have chosen you. I have ordained and anointed you to take my word to the nations. Not a jack of all trade. And that is what I have stuck to. I'm not doing any other thing apart from that. I'm focused on it. And that is why effectiveness becomes clear. When you know what your purpose is and you attach yourself to it and you fix and focus yourself on it, you cannot but sow. Number two reason. Why is it that people don't sow? Why is it that they settle for less? They are not hungry enough. They're not hungry enough. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to be hungry. As a church, we need to be hungry to break barriers, to surmount obstacles, to tread under feet every counsel of the enemy. We need to forge ahead. Though he slay me, I'll trust in him. I'm pressing up the upward way. New heights I'm getting every day. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Some years ago I read that D.L. Moody read this Bible 100 times. I have read this Bible over 320 times. Hunger. Hunger. I open my mouth and I pant, for I long for your commandment. Satisfy my mouth with good things and renew my youth as the eagle. What am I trying to say to you here? Remember this. Are you hungry enough for that next level? That thing you see, are you ready to give an arm and a leg for it? Many of us probably have heard about Kenneth Copeland. So many years ago, when Kenneth Copeland was growing up as a young minister, you know, he used to come to Kenneth Hagin Camp Meeting, and that was where I saw him for the first time, never knew him before. And one day, Kenneth Hagin gave a testimony about Kenneth Copeland. I can never forget. He said Kenneth Copeland came to him and said, I don't have money. But you know what, one thing I want to do? I want you to give me the entire library of your tape, and I will donate my left arm. You can cut it and take it with you. He said, by the time I get this tape, I will grow another hand. Kenneth Hagin said, when he saw that, he gave him everything he has ever preached and said, take and go. That is hunger. I love that song that says, oh Lord, I long for you. I long to be in your presence. My soul will wait for you. Father, draw me near. The hunger some of us have for the next level is not there. You're so casual. Casual in your approach. I went to a church. The pastor was praying in tongues. Somebody was leading. And I heard the pastor praying like this. Zinky, 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 zinky. I looked at him. I said, what's that you're saying? I said, what's that? Is that tongues? I said, you're playing. You're joking. Zinky, zinky, zinky. What's that? You know, there was no passion behind it. We need that. We need that. You need that. You need that drive. You need that hunger. Psalm 42 verse 1. As the heart panted after the water brook, so pant my soul after thee, O Lord. Psalm 63 verse 1. O God, my God, early will I seek thee, my soul long for thee. I remember those days where I was just starting out as a young minister. I wake up in the night. I'll be pacing up and down the floor of my room. Lord God, I don't want to be lost among the generation of ministers. Give me something peculiar. I want an anointing that will make me stand out. I want a gift. Gift that will make my ministry effective. Lord, visit me. Touch me. Talk. I mean, I will do like that. I will fast. For 12 years, I was fasting 4 days a week. For 12 years. Not the kind of fast they tell you to fast when you're drinking tea. 4 days a week out of 7. For 12 years. I was hungry. I was hungry. My God, Rodney Howard Brown said it like this in 1979. He said, I was so thirsty and hungry for God. I told God, God, come down, touch me. Because if you don't touch me, I'm so hungry, I will die. I'll come up to heaven and touch you. Second reason why people soar is because they are hungry for it. A church must get to a point where we say, we are not going to tolerate this. We are not going to. I live in an Islamic community. There are certain things you tell whoever is contending with you who will not agree with this. Who will not? One time we went out to buy land. Some people surrounded us. They said, look up and now we'll kill you here today. Kill you here today. You made me laugh. I shall not die but live. We pressed up. By the time we started marching towards them, you know, the best form of defense is attack. That's how we started marking, and they had the tongue we are speaking. They knew that our tongue was not ordinary tongue. who are speaking Arabic. They don't say, assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh wa barakatuh. May the grace and mercy of God be with you. So you understand our language. We are just speaking. Say, okay, you can go. I mean, I'm telling you. There comes a time when you don't take all those things you have taken. You don't lie low anymore. Stop accepting it. That is not your destiny. That is not where you are going. It's not your destination. It's not even your parking station. Number three. Why is it that people settle for less? People settle for less because other people tell them to. You know, in a church, if you're not careful as a pastor, they will tell you, that's too much. That's too much. Don't create a scene here. Don't let us do it that way. Pressure from people. They will tell you, accept it now. At least they are making concession. Accept. You are walking in the power of whatever things are bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever things are loose on earth is loose in heaven. You are walking in the power of what God has said to you and you are about to do. Pastor, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. I remember years ago when someone in our church, chairman of the deacon's board, wanted to divorce his wife and pick up another sister inside the church. And I said, no. I know some elders who came and said, you know, wisdom. I said, what kind of wisdom is it? He said, just, I said, what? Don't call a spade, and not an agricultural implement. You know, and because I stood my ground and I said, look, we are not going to allow this to happen. We are not going to allow this to happen. That's what integrity ministry is. Things to stand your ground, to know what something is, and to insist on it. The facility we are today, Muslims came and said, we should stop building. They said, stop building. I said, I'm convinced I should build. We have the permission. We bought the land, and I'm convinced I'm going to build. The man said, okay, no problem. They sent hired assassins to me, 20th of June, 2002. They came and captured him in my house, taking me away to go and kill me. But when Jesus said yes, nobody can say no. I became a terrorist to the Islamic organization in the Lord because I wouldn't take no. I told them, I said, in my family, we started as idol worshippers. The Adegboye family. In Adegboye family, there are idol worshippers, there are Muslims, there are nominal Christians, and there are born-again Christians. I said, we started as idol worshippers. My father was an idol worshipper. Then he became a Muslim. Then he was forced to be converted to become a Methodist member because he was doing interpretation for the British missionaries that came because he went to UK to read diploma in rural science. And that was how he knew how to understand the way the English people speak. So when the English missionaries came, they chose him as an interpreter. So after interpreting for a while, they told him, if you are going to keep on to this job, you are going to have to be baptized in water. That's how my father became a Christian by urgency, to keep his job. People will tell you, don't try that. Tell them, I'm not trying it, I'm doing it. I don't go in that direction. I'm persuaded. Do you think at 75, when Abraham was leaving his country, do you think everybody said, that's good? How many people followed him? Not many people will follow you. When you want to break a new ground, you want to chart a new course. When we started our ministry in London, we were saying, God is beginning a new thing on the earth. We were singing the spirit, dancing the spirit. Everybody was saying, they are mad. Look at the language they are speaking. They are mad. But a few couple of people said, I think they are going somewhere. Everybody may not believe you, but you need a handful of people. And you don't even need a handful of people. If God be for us, what does it matter who may be against us? Let me give you two or three more. Your money has actually expired. What I'm saying is this. Why settle for less when you can sow? Why? Why settle for less when you can sow? Another reason why some people do not sow is because of unwise relationship and association. We need to be connected to the right people. We need to be connected to the right people. It's not everybody that you see that is going somewhere. Associate with the right company of people who are going somewhere. Barrier breakers. Limit crossers. Associate with them. Iron sharpened iron. There are some ministers I've had to stay away from because they corrupt my soul. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says evil communication corrupt good manners. I just stay away from them. Because associating with them is dampening my zeal instead of making me feel excited. They let me know that you don't have to be like that now. You don't have to be a combatant. I say, God, who said I'm a soldier? Know what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He that warreth entangleth not himself with the affairs of this world. When I went and sat under the tree waiting for the witches to come, what do you think it is? He that warreth, and I went there, I sat down under the tree. Everybody was looking at me through the window. I was praying in tongues in the night. Everybody was waiting for me to fall down and die. 9:30, 10:30, 12:30, 11:30. The witches did not come. The next Friday, I went again. The next Friday, I went again. I went for 5 Fridays, and they disappeared from there. There are certain things you will not tolerate on your watch. Say, this thing will not be here, and I'm here. We are not going to live in this place together. We are not going to have to operate in this place together. That is the kind of thing it takes. As a church, you come to pastor, we are landlord in this city. We are no longer tenants. We reject the spirit of being perpetual tenants. We reject the spirit of being perpetual tenants. We break loose from having to be the one to be told to do things. We tell people to do things. When you begin to operate like that, you are ready. A wise relationship. A wise relationship. Psalm 119 verse 63 said, I'm a follower of them that fear thee and of them that seek your precepts. I want to walk in the right company. Blessed is the man that walketh on the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth on the way of sinner, that sitteth on the seat of his comfort, his delights in the Lord, the Lord of sin, by day and night. He shall be like a tree. He shall be. Right association makes us become. Another reason. Why settle for less? If you can sow, people settle for less because of lack of strength. You don't build strength. You need to build strength if you are going to sow. They that wait upon the Lord, they are renewed their strength. Your Bible reading must be copiously done. Prayer, since I was born again till today, I have never prayed for less than 1 hour in tongues every single day. At times 3 hours, at times 4 hours, at times 5 hours. Building strength. Proverbs 24:10. If your strength fail, if you fail in the day of adversity, because your strength is what? Little. Psalm 68, verse 35. The Lord will give strength and power to his people, and the Lord will give his people peace. You need strength. You need strength. Power. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he does what? Increase strength. Fast for long. Pray for long. Wait on God for long. They that wait upon the Lord. We all with open faces beholding us in a glass. The glory of the Lord. We are changed. I remember some years ago, I prayed for 36 hours nonstop. I went to South Korea. Some of you want to go on vacation. A black man. You go to Cancun, lie down in the sun with your black skin. You need to go to South Korea. Go to Prayer Mountain. There are places there called grottos. You see people there who have been praying for 48 hours, only drinking water. That's the kind of vacation you need. I went to South Korea. I was in South Korea for 7 days. I never did anything else. But I saw the power of prayer. I saw people who we are literally living in the power of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. When the Bible recommends that, that is the level you need to get to. 1 Timothy 2:8, he said, I wish that men pray everywhere. Men pray everywhere. Men pray everywhere. Peter and Paul and Silas prayed in the prison. That's everywhere. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. With all manner of prayers. And so you need strength to sow. You will never know when strength will be needed. So get it ready. June 20th, 2002, those assassins came and they put handcuff in my hand. They put leg cuff in my leg. And they showed me my picture. They said, we don't publish magazines. And we don't chase celebrity. We are from
We are from Benin Republic. We are rented to come and kill you. I sat down in that bus and I started saying to myself, let God arise and his enemy. You see, you have to build strength before such things. Who were the people that said the assassin? The Muslims. Opposite the place. Who said we should stop building? The man said I was going to die. The man was the one who died recently. I had to go to his funeral. He died before me. He sent people to kill me. They couldn't kill me. He now died before me. So I went there that day. I was so happy. I wore a white gown. I said, look at the person who says he's going to kill me. He has died now. I have victory over my enemies. Before he even died, we became friends. Because you see, when you can't kill somebody, you have to bow to them. That man looked at me and said, what do you do for a living? You need to build strength. Blessed be the Lord God who took my hands to one, my fingers to fight. Psalm 144 verse 1. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, I am a man of God. He shouted. He said, ah! I said, why? He said, when I started this business 6 years ago, I said, which business? He said, of killing people. He said, my father told me, one thing you should never do. Whenever somebody is a pastor and they tell you to kill them, don't kill them. The man says, so I cannot. So the other person turned to him and said, no, we are going to have to. We've collected the money. He said, no. Look, we've collected the money, but we have the guns. Those people gave us money. We will tell them. They now sent a message to those people that nothing should happen to me. They told them nothing should happen to me. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace. So what happened? Eventually, when we came back, we went and reported to the commissioner of police that we knew the people who sent the assassin, told us to go and call them. We called them. They said they are not going anywhere, and nothing happened to them. But I said to myself, and this was scriptures, Proverbs 14:19, evil will bow before good, the wicked at the gate of the righteous. And I know Proverbs 21:14, it says, gift that is given in secret pacifies great anger. So I saw them building their walls. They were trying to build a fence around their church, their mosque. I sent bags of cement, sand, and my elders went and delivered 25,000 naira. The man came to visit me. He said, sorry for what happened between us. We became friends. Whenever our car park is full, they will open their mosque. We are parking inside their mosque. Romans 12:21, be not overcome with evil. If I did not have enough strength, I would have gone that day. I had enough strength. The leader of the group said, there is something strange about you. When I was moving my mouth dangerously. The man said, is that incantation? I said, this is more than incantation. He said, what? I said, scriptures. If in the day of adversity your strength fail, it's because your strength is little. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You need to build the strength before the time comes. But you know what? Why settle for mundane things when you can soar? You need to go home and look at yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself. Say, look, you, from today, I won't tolerate any nonsense from you anymore. Oh, again and again, I do that to myself. When I see my confidence fail me and I feel fear come, say, no, a man like you should not be afraid. He say, fear not, I'm with you. You see, when you have fear, it means you have more faith in the devil and in your God. It is not the size of your faith that matters, but the size of God into which you put it. That is what made you overcome. Don't let us settle for the mundane things. I'm challenging you, Pastor. Be a church that blazes a trail. Be an inspiration to those who are your colleagues and a challenge even to those who are your superiors. Make up your mind. I'm going to blaze the trail and chart a course. I'm going to give my best to it. I'm going to do it. They say, nobody has ever done it before. Everything they say, nobody has ever done. Nobody has ever gone to the moon. People are going now. Somebody was one who went first. Huh? Why not me? They say nobody has gone from Ireland and traveled the 6 continents of the world. Have I not done it? They told me I couldn't. The same people who told me I couldn't are not the people that I'm recommending. South America. Can you recommend? See, if I have believed you and I've allowed you to limit me, will I be where I am today? Don't let your circumstance limit you. Don't let your background limit you. Don't let the unbelieving believers around you limit you. Make up your mind. I'm going to the top. Let nothing stop you. You have started already. Your feet is already on the path. Begin to press out the upward way. Everybody who has made a difference in this world have had to be challenged by everything and anything. But don't accept it because others accept it. Make up your mind. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can flesh do unto me? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord multiply your seed and increase the fruit of your righteousness. May the Lord give you courage. May you build confidence to take your mountain. May the spirit of Caleb and Joshua rest upon you. May you conquer the land and eat the honey and drink the milk in the land, where the soles of your feet shall touch belongs to you. Devil will not conquer you. Whatever spirit of terror is currently terrorizing you, I release you from his grip in the name of Jesus. You will possess the gates of your enemy. You will achieve so much that you'll be known for the things you did, not for the things you left undone. Go forward. March strong. Get stronger. Keep going. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything discourage you. The Lord will meet your need according to his riches in glory. You will not lack anything good. His goodness and mercy will pursue and overtake you in the land of living. You will have enough to do what you need to do. You will not be ashamed. You will not be ridiculed. You will not be subverted in your course. You will not fail or fall. You will not be overwhelmed or undercut. You'll go forward. Every single day we find you improving. Every single effort we find you going forward. You will conquer what conquered you years ago. The giants will not limit you. You'll overcome the Goliaths in the land. Goliath of finance. Goliath of prejudice. Goliath of negative speaking. You will conquer them all. And you'll be your habitation where giants used to live. So shall it be. So shall it be. So shall it be. In the name of Jesus, you will not be discouraged. You will not bow down in shame. You will not lose your confidence. You will not be undercut. Your health will not fail you. Your health will not fail you. You will see with eyes of faith. You will hear with ears of faith. You will walk with a steady walk of faith. You will walk with a steady walk of faith. Your feet will be strong upon the high mountains. You will ride upon the high places. The Lord will open unto you his good treasure. The heavens will rain upon your land. Surely goodness and mercy will follow and pursue you all the days of your life. You shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So shall it be. 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 In the name of Jesus.
Wow.